Father in heaven, help us to appreciate the fact that you save sinners. In Jesus' name, amen. Two people lived in the same palace at Thebes, Karnak, Luxor. The name of the one was Moses, and the name of the other one was Thutmose the Third. Moses was the foster child of Hatshepsut. Thutmose was the illegitimate child of Thutmose the Second, husband of Hatshepsut. Was Moses offered kingship of Egypt? Yes, on two occasions. How did he react to the greatest honor of the time? You know, we want to have power. We want to have status. It says in Hebrews 11, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused. Now that's a participle in Greek, meaning he kept on refusing. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That means kingship. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, listen to this, than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Sin has only got passing pleasures. Remember that. Esteeming the reproach of Christ, the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked to the reward. He saw another horizon than the one just before him. He chose temporary affliction rather than temporary glory. But the temporary affliction turned out to become eternal glory. How he could have become a mummy in the Cairo Museum, but he made a much better choice. What happened to Moses after he died on Mount Nebo? He died in the arms of Jesus, and he was buried down at the place where Elijah ascended to heaven alive. Moses the Third was eventually forced onto the throne by the priests of Amun to become the co-ruler with Hatshepsut in 1504. The co-regency ended in 1488 BC when he murdered Hatshepsut. This was 2 years after Moses fled. Can you imagine the emotional situation when these two men met again after 40 years? What happened when Pharaoh refused to let Israel go? 7, Exodus says, thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the waters which are in the river with the rod that is in my hand, and they shall be turned to blood, and the fish that are in the river shall die. The river shall stink, and the Egyptians will loathe to drink the water of the river. Now I'm skipping a few chapters, but please read Exodus from chapter 1 to chapter 16. Wonderful reading matter. Now how did Pharaoh react when he was first asked to let the people go? 5, 1 and 2, afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. Do you understand me, Moses? I don't know your God. Then the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. Why would God send plagues should he refuse? For at this time I will send all my plagues to your very heart, and your servants, and on your people, that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. If Pharaoh didn't found God in the pleasant times, God was trying to help Pharaoh discover him in hard times. What was the purpose of the plagues? It was for the salvation of Pharaoh. God wants everyone to be saved. Does God care about him? Yes, he cared about Thutmose III. He cares about every single person. We are his product. We are his creatures. He wants everyone to be saved. There's no favorites. He's knocking at every heart. Titus 2 says, salvation has appeared to all men. Now let's look at the way God tried to win the heart of the mightiest Pharaoh ever on the throne of Egypt. Are you discovering new dimensions of God's love in the stories of the plagues? He wants to save and not destroy. He does not want to destroy people, he wants to save them. He also wanted to destroy their confidence in the power and protection of their false gods. He wants to give us something better. It's all about worship. Who do you worship? Whenever I visit the Nile of Egypt, my thoughts go back to the time when Moses met the Pharaoh on the banks of the river. By the way, what was he doing at the Nile? What do you think? 7:19. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, say to Aaron, take your rod and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over their streams, there's a lot of canals, over their rivers, over their ponds, and over their pools of water, that they may become blood. Blood? Yes, blood. And there shall be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in buckets of wood and pitchers of stone. What do you think Pharaoh thought when Moses said this? I think he said to himself, nonsense. Happy is my God. He will never change. I worship him. And Moses and Aaron did so, just as the Lord commanded. So he lifted up the rod and struck the waters that were in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants. And all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. Can you believe what the Bible says? The fish that were in the river died. The river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink the water of the river. So there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. Then the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. And Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, as the Lord had said. You think God will give him another chance? Is God giving you and me another chance? He wants to save us. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house. Neither was his heart moved by this. God wanted to move his heart. So all the Egyptians dug all around the river for water to drink, because they could not drink the water of the river. And 7 days passed after the Lord had struck the river. 7 days. The way God tries to save sinners like you and me is fascinating. I'm quoting from the best commentary on the Exodus story. Moses and Aaron were directed to visit the riverside next morning, where the king was accustomed to repair, the overflowing of the Nile being the source of food and wealth for all Egypt. The river was worshipped as a god, and they called the river Hapi or Uru. And the monarch came thither daily to pay his devotions. How many times did he go to the Nile? Daily. Just remember this as we continue through the 10 plagues. On a daily basis, he worshipped the Nile. Here the two brothers again repeated the message to him. And then they stretched out the rod and smote upon the water. The sacred stream, Hapi, ran blood. The fish died. Can you see them coming to the surface? And the river became offensive to the smell. The water in the houses, the supply preserved in cisterns, was likewise changed to blood. For 7 days the plague continued, but without effect. I don't need archaeology to convince me to believe the Bible, but I appreciate discoveries that confirm my belief in this wonderful book. So if you allow me, let's see what they discovered in the literature of Egypt. Let us follow the signs. If we go straight ahead, it's Cairo and Port Said. If we turn left, it's Suez. Well, here we are at the Suez Canal. Welcome to Egypt. This is Ismailia. It's fascinating to discover new places. And this is one of the Great Lakes. And inside this building, this is a museum in Ismailia, is a fantastic discovery which sheds light on the story of the plagues and the Exodus. Here you see it. In the 19th century, archaeologists discovered a piece of black granite in El Arish, Egypt. This is a town in Sinai. The locals were using the granite as a watering trough. When archaeologists first came across it, they noticed the hieroglyphic carvings all over it. While the text was for the most part destroyed on one side, there were still other parts that were still legible. Any mention of the Exodus? I'm going to refer to this document quite a few times during the lecture. Had there been only the shrine of El Arish, writes this man, telling of hurricanes, darkness, the pursuit by the Egyptians of the fleeing slaves, whereupon His Majesty, referring to Pharaoh, leaped into the place of the whirlpool and was then lifted by a great force, it would have been enough to praise God. Although some Exodus-related events are recorded, no mention is made of the first plague on the El Arish shrine. Let's search a little further. We're going to the tomb of Thutmose III. Here you've got his details. Started kingship in 1504. And it ended in 1450. I'll be talking more about this, but here you're looking at the Red Sea, which opens right inside this tomb. The text repeatedly dwells on the blessed drowned ones in this water, and on the desirability that the powerful water forces will wash ashore their bodies for mummification into the afterlife. No mention is made of the first plague in the Amduat, that's the last 12 hours of the life of Pharaoh. Now, where did Israel cross the Egyptian border? Let me make you a bit curious. I've found the place, I believe, from the three sources I used, We drove along the Suez Canal and then next to the Red Sea. We came across these mountains. What do you notice here? This mountain runs right into the sea. The mountain is blocking up the way. Please don't miss out on the future lecture. I also took a picture of this from the plane flying from Cairo to Amman. We're going to check three sources as to the point of crossing. And I think you'll be excited. Let's continue our search for archaeological material on the first plague. In the National Archaeological Museum in Leiden, that's in Netherlands, is found the Ipuwer Papyrus. And you can check this on the internet. The manuscript itself was discovered in Memphis. That was one of the capitals of Egypt. One was Memphis, the other one was Thebes. This ancient poem is called the Admonitions of Ipuwer, or the Dialogue of Ipuwer and the Lord of All. The Ipuwer Papyrus describes Egypt as afflicted by natural disasters and in a state of chaos, a topsy-turvy world where the poor have become rich. Listen to this. And the rich, poor. Can you relate this to the Exodus story? And warfare, famine, and death. Tenth plague. Hail. Famine and death are everywhere. There is a lament that the servants are leaving their servitude and acting rebelliously. Can you see the Exodus story in the Ipuwer Papyrus? The papyrus describes violent upheavals in Egypt, starvation. The hail destroyed everything. Drought, escape of slaves with the wealth of the Egyptians, and death throughout the land. Please read the 10 plagues and discover this for yourself. The papyrus was written by an Egyptian named Ipuwer and appears to be an eyewitness account of the effects of the Exodus plagues from the perspective of an average Egyptian. This was a tremendous discovery. Let me quote from the Ipuwer document. Plague is throughout the land. And there you've got the biography. Blood is everywhere. The river is blood. I love archaeology. The Bible says the river changed into blood. The Ipuwer says yes. We confirm the biblical fact. Are there any other archaeological evidences to confirm the biblical account of the Nile turning into blood? Yes. Let's look at the discovery made in the tomb of Seti I. It's one of the pharaohs. He was buried in the Valley of the Kings. And you can read the hieroglyphics. This document is called The Destruction of Mankind. Some scholars say it should be the destruction of the Egyptian people. But to say it softly, they just called it the destruction of mankind. What does it say? Any mention of the first plague? Yes. Lo, hearts are violent. Plague sweeps the land. There is blood everywhere. No shortage of dead. Tenth plague, first plague, tenth plague. If you were the Pharaoh, how would you rate the efficiency of your Nile god, Hapi? You prayed for Hapi. Hapi disappointed you. He turned into blood. Do you still believe in this god? God was trying to tell Pharaoh, I'm a loving, unchangeable God, a fair God. Trust me. Hapi the Nile was supposed to be a constant life-producing God, and now he becomes impotent because of the sudden change from water to blood. Hapi was a very important deity to anyone living in the Nile Valley. He was the god of the Nile, particularly the inundation. His followers worshipped him even above Ra, the sun god. After all, without the sun, the Egyptians would have lived in darkness, but without the Nile, the Egyptians would have perished. So this was a very important god. It was believed that Hapi's source, the Nile, was two whirlpools in the caves of the Elephantine Island. I've been here. Marvelous documents have been discovered here. By the way, some of the Jews from the time of Jeremiah settled here. On his journey, he was thought to flow through the underworld, through the heavens, and then through Egypt. He was responsible for watering the meadows and bringing dew. But most importantly, he brought the fertile inundation. He provided food and water for nourishment and for the offerings to the gods. And fertility, as a fertility god, he was associated with Osiris. So Hapi was a very important Egyptian god. Have you got an important god in your life? He will disappoint you. But the God of the Bible is constant. He was supposed to be a constant life-producing god, and now he becomes impotent because of the sudden change from water to blood, as I've said. How did Pharaoh react? Moses. Oh, Moses. I repent. And I give my heart to your God. I wish this would have been the case, like Adad-nirari III from Nineveh, who repented. Like Akhenaten and Nefertiti, who repented and became monotheists. Like Hatshepsut, the foster mother of Moses. It may be concluded that God's salvation in the Exodus explained Israel's past, gave meaning to its present, inspired hope for its future, illumined the story of Christ and the earliest Christians, and is the promise of final victory over evil for the church. If you read through the Bible, you'll be surprised at the many references back to the Exodus story. This was the greatest salvation event in all biblical history. And I think it's important to study what happened here. In the first plague, God destroyed Hapi, the Nile god. What was the point he wanted to make? I am a better god. Don't let this false god fool you. Now, what do you see on this Egyptian monument? There are three frogs. This is the chapel of the frogs. Can you believe it? They had a chapel for frogs. In our next lecture, we will learn more of God's love for sinners, even hardened sinners. If you have not given him your heart will become harder, more callous. And if he speaks to you right now, yield to his pleadings and give him your heart. Father, thank you for knocking at our hearts. Help us to open the door and allow you to come and fix up the mess. In Jesus' name, Amen.